When television was making its initial appearance on the American airwaves, an unimposing, slightly stoop-shouldered music student paused in his busy schedule to watch his first TV show. What he saw was a slapstick display of angry adults throwing pies at one another. To him, it was a waste of a medium that held a powerful potential for good. The images were so disturbing, they changed the course of his life. Rather than continue to pursue a planned career of combining music and the ministry, the young man vowed to use this new technology as an instrument that would lift and nurture audiences.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood.
Fred McFeely Rogers went on to become a pioneer of television.
Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day.
During his career, he worked at the first public broadcast station, composed over 200 songs, wrote books, was recognized with numerous awards, including the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and for nearly 45 years was the favorite neighbor of millions of children.
Please won't you be my neighbor?
Born in Latrobe, Pennsylvania in 1928, Fred Rogers lived his first 11 years as an only child, who spent much of his time playing the piano, tinkering with his puppets, and being with his grandfather. Rogers fondly recalled his grandfather McFeely encouraging him to be all that he could be, often telling his grandson, "There's only one person in the world like you, and I happen to like you just the way you are." Music was a favorite pastime in the Rogers house, and by age 5, Fred Rogers began to play simple tunes on the family's piano. It was a love that lasted a lifetime. In 1951, Rogers graduated magna cum laude from Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida, with a BA in music composition, a degree that helped him land a job at the National Broadcasting Company in New York City. Here, he worked as an assistant director and floor director for such shows as The Kate Smith Hour, The Voice of Firestone, and the NBC Opera Theater. His move to New York lasted just long enough for him to develop an understanding of television before moving on. In 1953, Rogers decided that commercial television, which relied heavily on advertising, was not the appropriate platform for the type of enriching, educational programming he hoped to create. Soon after this realization, he left a promising career as a network producer and moved to Pittsburgh to work at the fledgling WQED, which was the nation's first public television station. Initially, Rogers wanted to focus his efforts on adult programming, but when an opportunity presented itself on a show called Children's Corner, Fred took up the challenge. Before he knew it, he was co-producing the hour-long national education television show that no one else at the station was willing to take on. It was with Children's Corner that Rogers discovered he could blend his love for music and puppetry to achieve the mission of imparting positive lessons to an impressionable, receptive audience. And it was here that Fred Rogers first encountered King Friday the 13th, Queen Sarah, who was named after his wife, Daniel the Striped Tiger, and other puppet friends that remained with him throughout his long career. For 7 years, Rogers co-produced, co-wrote, and performed backstage as a puppeteer for the Children's Hour. During lunch, he'd break away from the studio to attend classes at the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, where he pursued a master's degree in divinity. In 1962, Rogers was ordained a Presbyterian minister. But rather than turn away from television, Fred Rogers dedicated his ministry to creating positive, affirming programming. After finishing his degree, Rogers moved to Toronto, where his role shifted from behind the camera to the front when he created the children's program Mr. Rogers for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. For 15 minutes every day, he guided children through an inviting world that boasted a trolley, the Eiffel Tower, the tree, and the castle. Although the show was a hit with its young audiences, it only aired for 3 years. Purchasing the rights to Mr. Rogers, Fred moved back to WQED in Pittsburgh, where he expanded the Canadian show from 15 to 30 minutes. In 1965, the first of a total of 895 episodes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood aired. For 2 years, the program was limited to audiences in the eastern United States. Then, in 1968, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was picked up by a national sponsor and soon reached out to children through public broadcast stations across the country. The format of The Neighborhood was simple, giving its audiences a reassuring consistency. Each episode began with Mr. Rogers entering his house, singing the invitation, "Won't you be my neighbor?" As he sang, smiling at the camera, he'd change from street shoes and a suit jacket to comfortable colored boat sneakers and a zippered cardigan sweater that his mother knit for him. Throughout the program, various people would take him up on his friendly invitation and drop in at his neighborhood house. Other characters would give Mr. Rogers a warm welcome when he would take his audience friends on a neighborhood visit. Partway through the show, his little viewers would travel with the trolley to the neighborhood of make-believe, where actors and puppets, many voiced and manipulated by Fred Rogers himself, acted out small dramas that explored simple topics such as kindness, civility, and peace. The trolley would return to Mr. Rogers' real house, where he'd reinforce the theme with a brief discussion about what the make-believe characters were experiencing. His demeanor was always calm and friendly, as if he were talking to his favorite friend, who just happened to be you. Rogers explained in an interview, "The whole idea is to look at the television camera and present as much love as you possibly could to a person who might feel he or she needs it." Rogers believed it was critical to understand his audience in order to sculpt a show that children would respond to. As a result, he spent years actively studying childhood development and psychology. Fred's studies led him to create the show in a manner that was consistently paced, even during the action scenes, when a guest might demonstrate a skill or task. There were never quick edits or flashes to speed things up. All that was displayed played out in real time. Perhaps one reason his persona was so believable was because the on-screen Mr. Rogers was the real-life Fred Rogers. Whatever he was doing, whenever and wherever, Rogers was simply himself. He lived his life with the same measured consistency with which he produced his shows. Every day he'd get up early, swim laps, adhere to a vegetarian diet that kept his weight at a consistent 150 pounds on a 6-foot frame, and was always dedicated to his family and young audiences. He never sponsored commercial products, only allowing his name, image, and gentle voice to grace merchandise and public service projects that supported the well-being of children. His influence rippled through generations. Once on a trip to New York City, Rogers and his associates were trying to reach a meeting but couldn't find a taxi. They decided to take the subway, thinking Rogers wouldn't be recognized. They were soon proven wrong, as the crowded car of strangers became a carload of friends spontaneously singing, "Won't You Be My Neighbor?" Fred Rogers responded with his well-known, wide, toothy smile. Rogers was so beloved that when he reported to police that his Impala had been stolen from a studio parking lot, word quickly spread to the local news. 48 hours later, the car was returned with a note apologizing that if the thieves had known it was his car, they never would have taken it. And if imitation truly is the greatest form of flattery, Rogers was in good company. Since he often came across as an awkward nerd at first glance, Fred was fodder for comedians and ridiculing parodies. Yet Rogers never seemed to doubt himself. Rogers was passionate about his television mission, never wavering from countering the negative messages that so often screeched across the airwaves. So complete was his confidence in his mission, he was unflustered in even the most intimidating of situations. In 1969, when significant budget cuts were being proposed for public broadcasting, Fred Rogers went before the United States Senate Subcommittee on Communications. The subcommittee chairman, John Pastore, was unfamiliar with Rogers' work and acted disdainfully toward the seemingly meek, soft-spoken man sitting at the table across from the senator's perch. As Rogers began his message, the impatient senator interrupted with curt questions. Rogers never hesitated or appeared flustered. Instead, he spoke with the same quiet confidence with which he spoke to children every day, commanding the attention of some of the nation's brightest and most powerful people. Without raising his voice or hurrying his message, Rogers spoke to the Senate subcommittee as if he were speaking to his favorite friends. He passionately told of the need for alternative television that provided positive social and educational programming, enthusiastically pointing out that programs like The Neighborhood gave children a safe, caring place to learn how to become secure, happy citizens.
And this is what I give. I give an expression of care every day to each child to help him realize that he is unique. I end the program by saying, you've made this day a special day by just your being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are.
It only took a couple of minutes for Senator Pastore's attitude to soften. Rogers ended his five-minute testimony with the lyrics of a song he'd composed, and the tough-skinned senator responded.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Looks like you just earned the $20 million.
At its peak of popularity, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood captivated 8 million viewers per show. Most of them under 3 feet tall.
It's a beautiful day.
When Fred Rogers hung up his cardigan for the last time in December 2002, reruns of his programs continued to reassure children that he still cared. Months later, Fred Rogers passed away, leaving a stunned nation of neighbors to mourn him. In honor of their native son, the city of Pittsburgh erected a 10-foot bronze statue of Rogers dressed in a cardigan, sitting with one leg crossed over the other as if he were tying his sneaker while smiling directly at his friends. In his unique, quiet way, Fred McFeely Rogers was a true hero, unafraid of showing people how to be satisfied with who they are.
Please won't you be my neighbor?
Hi, neighbor. Welcome to this neighborhood.